Amen. You may be seated. How are we? Good? Okay. I don't know about that. Did you drink coffee? Yeah. Was that good? Yes. It was good to have coffee back in the house of the Lord, right? Amen and amen. Hey, we want to welcome you to our third session of Breakthrough. Now, some of you may say, third session? This is the first time I've come to church today, right? You are a part of a greater weekend, right? So we started Breakthrough last night with a session. We at 9:30 this morning, we had a session, and then this is our third session. So welcome to the third session of Breakthrough. This service is going to be a little bit different today, where we're going to teach a little bit, and Gary's going to teach a little bit in just a second, and then we're going to worship in between. So we're just going to kind of dance back and forth between worshiping the Lord with our voice and our body language, and also teaching the truth of the Word of God. Breakthrough for us is that we just really want to take time at the beginning of every year to seek God in a radical way. This year, we are looking at spiritual formation. The whole idea is that we want to be with Jesus, right? So we can become like Jesus. So after we have become like Jesus, then we can do what he did. Now, the truth is that we're never going to fully become like Jesus, right? There's a great theological word, that word is sanctification. It's the process of becoming more like Jesus. But the more we understand who Jesus is, and the more we try to emulate our life after Jesus, the more we can understand how we can live like he did. Now, and do the things that he did. Now, the thing about Jesus is that he was the most caring person who ever lived. He was the greatest servant who ever lived. He was the one that cared for and thought about others more than anybody else on this planet. And that is what we as Christians, little Christ, are supposed to do. So our example, our pattern is that of Jesus Christ. And really the framework behind everything we've done this weekend is the whole idea that we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We looked at that last night and at 9:30. We also want to love the Lord with our soul, mind, and strength. So today in this service, quickly, we are going to look at soul, mind, and strength. Now, I want to give you a real quick backdrop of this, where this comes from, right? So we see in Mark 12, 29 and 30, the scripture says the most important one, somebody asked Jesus a question, and Jesus says, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And for the next few minutes, we're going to look at soul. What does it mean to love the Lord with your soul? Like, how do you do that? And for us to understand how we love the Lord and worship the God with all of our soul, we probably need to have a proper understanding about what that word soul means, right? And the scripture gives us some pretty good indication about what soul is. We understand that soul is distinct from the heart. It's different from the heart. We see that in Deuteronomy. We know that it's different from the spirit. We see that it is distinct from the mind. We see that the soul was created by God. We see that it is strong. The soul can be strong or it can be very unsteady. We see that it can be lost. We see that it can be saved. We know that the soul needs atonement. We know that it's protected by the truth and the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you really boil it down, the soul is our whole being. It's what's hidden. It's the great things. It's the bad things. It's our strengths. It's our weaknesses. It's the sum of who we all are. Now, when you get up in the morning, most people, first thing they do is walk into the restroom and they look in a mirror. Now, some of you, you love this. Some of you, you hate this. Like, I have one kid in my home who loves this. Like, he'll say, man, God, you are good. You are really, really good. You can figure out which one that is, right? But some of you look in this and say, man, I don't like the way that I look. I can't stand the way that I look. But the whole idea is that the mirror gives you a reflection of who you are. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. Worship, when we worship the Lord, it gives us a reflection of the soul. So how we worship God is a mirror image of our soul. I love to think of David. David lived on the extremes, but he also lived in the middle. And what I mean by that is we see in the scripture that David wailed and David tore his clothes and David pleaded for the Lord and he worshiped the Lord in his most desperate times. But we also see that David danced with joy in front of the Lord with gladness. And David lived within the extremes, and he was a man that we know as someone who absolutely worshiped the Lord. Now listen, we also live in the extremes too. There's times that you may be saying, hey, I'm in that despair right now. And you may say, man, I'm in a really good time right now. But I want you to understand what really fuels our worship is what we do in the middle. Listen to this. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the handiwork of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. David wrote that. What was David? David was a shepherd. You think he spent a lot of time out in the pastures looking at the sky? And when he was doing that, was he just, where was his mind? What were his thoughts on? David had unbelievable amounts of time to think on the Lord. So in the middle ground, not at the extremes, but in the middle, he focused on the Lord. And so folks, if you want to come in here and worship the Lord with all your soul, you've got to focus on him in the middle of your life. So how's Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock? Are you giving that to the Lord? How's your devotional on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m.? Did you wake up those 15 minutes early to pray with the Lord that you wanted to so desperately? Because you may come in here today and you may say, man, I worship, I come in here every week, but man, this whole music stuff, it doesn't connect with me at all. And I may just want to ask you, how's the middle of your life? How's your soul? That band's going to come back up and we're going to sing a little bit. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit. And you may not even be in a posture. You may be saying, I can't do this right now. Because honestly, the middle of my life is checked out. And you may want to just turn to prayer. You may want to come down here at this altar. You may want to just say, God, meet with me. God, I need you. You may want to make a new commitment. But if we want to worship the Lord with our soul, it starts not on Sunday morning, but it starts in the middle of our life. And so as we worship and as we sing, I just want you to ask yourself, how is the middle of my life? Where am I meeting with the Lord? And let's just sing out to him during this time.
We are asking God to break through. We are asking God to break through in our heart and life so that we might be fully formed in the ways of Jesus. And if you've not been praying already, God, would you just break through in my life? God, would you break through in my family? Would you break through in this world? Then I invite you to start right now. God, will you break through? I want to be fully formed in your ways. But what does that mean to be fully formed in the ways of Jesus? What we're saying is it's a life that loves God with all of our heart. And you've heard last night Pierce and this morning Brian just talk about how through prayer and fasting, we see God cultivate within us a heart that actually loves the Lord our God. And it means to love God not only with all of our heart, but our soul. And you just heard Richard talking about loving God with your soul. And you love him on the ends, but you love him in the middle. You love him with every fiber of your being. And then it means, if we're going to be fully formed in the ways of Jesus, what does that look like? It means that we're loving God with all of our mind, and we love God with all of our strength. So we're going to look just for a few moments at what it really means to love God with all of our mind. And the first thing that I want you to think about is this: it is a choice. That means it's not going to happen automatically. But it also means that you get to choose whether or not you're going to love God with all of your mind, or whether you're going to love God on the periphery of your mind while you really love the things of this world and the things that you want. Where did I get the idea that it's a choice? From Paul, in a letter that he wrote to the believers in Colossae: set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. Do you notice how he says, set your mind? When God commands us to do something, God is telling us that we have the choice. We have the opportunity. God has made us a new creation, and he has given us the Spirit of God to dwell in us. And so that is an option that is on the table. We get to choose what we're going to set our mind on, and we get to choose whether we'll set it on loving God or not. Now, be careful what you choose to set your mind on, because what you set your mind on will directly impact what you do. Have you ever heard the saying, watch your thoughts, they become your words? Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale that popularized the idea of the power of positive thinking. And all he was doing is stealing a page out of God's Word, stealing an idea from Jesus, because the fact is, what you think begins to impact how you feel, and how you feel impacts what you do. Be careful what you choose to think on, because it is going to impact the way you live your life. If you decide I'm a failure, the truth is you're going, man, I'm a failure, and I'm going to fail at marriage, or I'm going to fail in my life, and I'm going to fail with Jesus, I'm going to fail in this relationship, I'm going to fail in my career, then you're going to start making choices before long that become a self-fulfilling prophecy, and what you think will impact then what you do. Thoughts impact feelings. Feelings impact behavior. We choose our thoughts. Our will directs what we think on, not vice versa. So you and I get to choose whether or not we're going to love God with all of our heart. Notice what Paul says to us that we ought to choose to think on, since the choice is ours. Think on the things that are above and not on the things that are on earth. See, your thoughts that you choose to think on are either going to be thoughts that lift you up into the presence of Jesus and cause you to love Jesus more with all of your mind, or the thoughts that you choose to think on are going to be from things below and things of this earth and things that you want and frustrations that you have and revenge that you'd like to get and possessions you'd like to acquire. And you begin to think on the things that are below. And what's going to happen is that leads you away from Jesus and causes you to love Jesus less. So what are the things that are above that we think on that lead us to love God with all of our mind? Again, Paul tells us, finally, brothers, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, we choose. Am I going to think on things above that's going to lead me to love God with all of my mind, or am I just going to Let my mind be flooded with the things of this world. And the truth is, what we have to do is we have to learn how to redirect our thoughts. I was talking to Kim about this message, and she said, man, I've had to learn how to redirect my thoughts. If you're a parent, you know about worry and anxiety and concern, right? And Kim's just telling me, man, whenever she is anxious, what she has to do, and it's just something that I hadn't, this is free of charge. This wasn't in my sermon. I thought, ooh, that's a good definition of loving God with all your mind. I'm going to include that. And she said, you know, I have to intentionally redirect my thoughts away from that which I'm fearful of or anxious about, and I direct my thoughts toward Jesus. And it just hit me in that moment, man, that's loving Jesus with all of your mind. If you choose to think about Jesus rather than thinking about what has you anxious and worried, amen? So we redirect our thoughts, and our right thoughts lead us to loving Jesus more, and wrong thoughts lead to loving Jesus less. Now, what's the most important thing we can do? It's to make a decision with our mind, since it's our choice, to love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Now, let me quickly add. Loving God with all your mind is not just having loving thoughts toward Jesus. Is there anything wrong with having loving thoughts toward Jesus? Of course not. That's called worship. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's nothing wrong with having loving thoughts toward Jesus and expressing your love to Jesus. But that's just not what it's really primarily talking about when it says love God with all your mind. When it says love God with all your mind, it's talking about to think the thoughts of Jesus, to have the mind of Jesus. Where do I get that? From the Apostle Paul, where I get everything, of course. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the, let's say this together, what is it? Mind of Christ. It was John Piper who said, dedicating our minds to knowing him is what it means to love God with all of your mind. It means you dedicate your mind to knowing Jesus, to loving him, to understanding him, to understand how he thinks, to understand what he values, to understand what he prioritizes, and then you download that mind into your mind, and you say, I'm going to start thinking like Jesus. And think about a parent with a child. If you are a parent, you get this. Let me say, students, your parents, they're watching you, and if all of a sudden you start repeating some of the same phrases, and you're going, of course I would never repeat phrases of my parents. They're out of touch. I know, I get that. But if you ever do, you start repeating some of the things that your parents say. You start kind of valuing what your parents value. You start thinking like your parents. Do you realize that is just about the greatest expression of love for your parents that you could ever make? Why? Because you're embracing their values as your value, their thoughts as your thoughts. Listen to me. One of the most loving things we can do toward Jesus is to start thinking like Jesus. When you respond to an offense, and instead of saying, I'm going to get even, you go, wait, I want to love God with all my mind. I want to give him a piece of my mind. No, I want to love God with all my mind. So Jesus, I've just been sinned against. Would you show me your mind, your thoughts toward this person who sinned against me? Oh, yeah. My enemy is not flesh and blood, but the enemy who blinded this person who sinned against me. Oh, yeah. You're not willing for any to perish, so you don't actually want me to kill them right now. You're not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance and the knowledge of the... Oh, you actually want this person to become your child and live with you forever. Oh, no, you want me to forgive 7 times 70? Seriously, Jesus, are you kidding me here? Wait a minute, you're kidding me. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, forgive 7 times 70. Why? So that I can represent your grace. No, Jesus. Okay, Jesus, that's the mind of Christ. Since I have a choice, In what mind I'm going to choose, I choose your mind in the way I respond to this person who sinned against me. Listen, do you realize when you respond to an offense the way Jesus responds to offenses, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, that is an expression of your love for Jesus. Because you love him enough to embrace his mind. So how do we develop the mind of Christ? Let me just say, through Scripture, you can't have the mind of Christ unless you download the mind of Christ. Amen? You can't think like Jesus unless you know how Jesus thinks. You can't talk like Jesus unless you know how Jesus talks. So you got to download Scripture. You got to read it daily. You got to memorize it. You got to meditate on it so that when you're responding to someone who has sinned against you, you can go, Jesus, what's your mind on this? And your mind's not going, duh, I don't know. You got to download Scripture. But then you got to listen to the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit causes the Word of God to be living and active. And you read and you know the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit prompts you. And as the Holy Spirit prompts you, then you can follow and obey. Make sense? So how do you develop the mind of Christ? Well, you learn Scripture, you listen to the Holy Spirit. And then God knows that we're visual learners. And so guess what he does? He gives us spiritual people around us to give us a living example of what it looks like to live out the mind of Christ. So let me ask you a question right now. What are you struggling with? What are you facing? What are you going through? What is just kind of slamming up against your life right now? And you're going, okay, I don't know how to respond like Jesus wants me to respond. Then here's what I want you to do. Whatever you're facing right now, for some of you, it's a temptation. For some of you, it's a separation in your marriage. For some of you, it's a financial hardship. For some of you, it's fear. It's anxiety. I don't know what it is right now that is just slamming up against your life, but I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to just say, Jesus, would you show me your mind concerning this thing that I'm facing? Would you show me, Lord, what do you say about this temptation in your, God, what do you say about this separation in your, God, what do you say about this fear that I have concerning this health diagnosis? God, what do you say in your word? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond? And then just pray, oh God, would you give me an example? Show me a godly person who's gone through this and show me how they responded, because that's kind of, I'm a visual learner and I can see your mind through that person. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Would you just bow your head just for a moment? Would you close your eyes just for a moment? And I mean like 30 seconds. And just say, God, would you show me the mind of Christ concerning this thing that I'm facing?
God, we do pray that you would meet with us even here in this moment. Father, we know your presence is here through your Holy Spirit. Know your Holy Spirit is active in our midst. Scripture is clear about that. We pray that we would be attentive to him, that he would meet with us at this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are we're in the final stretch now. So we're going to spend just a couple moments looking at this word strength. So we have looked at our soul, we've looked at our heart, we've looked at our mind. And so we want to look at this word strength. How in the world can we love the Lord our God with our strength? Does that mean we just kind of will it to happen? We just use all of our might and just try real hard, press forward? And, you know, I think for us to fully understand what this word strength means, we need to do a little bit of a word study. Now, so for some of you grammar geeks out there, you know who you are, right?
You're going to love this. Some of you others, just stay with me, all right? Please stay with me. This is going somewhere. But if you look at this greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and strength and mind, we see that in the Gospels. But it didn't originate in the Gospels. It came from the Old Testament. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's this passage that's called the Shema. And the Shema is something that the Israelites would pray in morning and evening. And it was extremely important to them. And the Shema just says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." That word strength in the Hebrew language, in the Shema, in Deuteronomy, simply means me'od. Can you say that with me? Everybody just say me'od. Me'od. All right, you can do better than that. We'll count to three, all right? One, two, three. Meld. All right, you spoke Hebrew today. Good job, all right? Give yourself a hand, all right? Now, that word meld, like what in the world does that mean? It's actually an adverb. An adverb is just simply a word that modifies or qualifies another word. It kind of brings some richness to the word and some emphasis to the word. And I think about in creation. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, all right? Just real briefly. In Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating everything, six times he made a declaration and he said, "It is good. It 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 is good." And then he said it the seventh time. But this time he said it, "It is me'od good. It is very good." And so the idea is that that's very or much. When the Israelites sent out the spies into the promised land to check it out, to see if it's a place that they could go and that they could conquer, those spies came back. And in Numbers 14, we see this. They said, "The land we passed through and explored is me'od, me'od good." And so sometimes you see that me'od listed twice, and Numbers translates that as exceedingly good. It gives it an extra emphasis that it is really, really good. And so when we go back to the Shema, and it says, "Love the Lord with your God with all your soul, mind, and me'od," it's emphasizing, and it's saying everything, all of your resources, everything you have at your disposal, all of your opportunities, all of your possibilities, all of your capacities and capabilities, everything you can, that's what you worship the Lord with. It's this idea that we don't stop being a lifelong learner. We have to continue to add resources to our toolkit, understand more about who Christ is, learn about him, and apply that to our life. And that is me'od. That is with our strength. And when I think about this, I think about those four crazy guys that had a paralyzed friend and said, "We are going to stop at nothing to get this man in front of Jesus." And so they carried this paralytic on a mat, brought him to the house, right? There were so many people inside. They couldn't get him in. They probably said, "What are we going to do?" They didn't stop. They said, "No, we're going to worship God with our me'od, and we're going to do all that we can to get this man to God." And so they were creative. They used their strength. They used their resources. They got this man on top of the roof. They found rope. They lowered him down after digging a hole in the roof of the house and lowered him right before Jesus because they were going to worship God with their ma'od, and nothing was going to stop them. They were going to use every resource available. They were going to worship the Lord with their strength. And that's what we are to do. And so as we close out this weekend, we want to let you know that, man, we have resourced you. We want to help you as you continue to walk this road of loving the Lord with everything in you. And tomorrow we're going to start, Brian talked about it last hour, we're going to start a 14-day devotional that we actually have the devotional printed out for you, and we would love for you to be a part of that. There are a few copies, hard copies in the alcove, but primarily we really want you to go online, right? So you can download our church app. It's super simple to get to. The first thing that you'll see on our church app is Breakthrough. You click on it. It gives you all the resources. It gives you the devotional guide. You can go to theheights.org/breakthrough. All the information will be there. And we would love you to use this resource to help you as you love the Lord with all your mold. And we're going to partner this with a fast. Brian's already talked about this. Now listen, we're gonna start this fast tomorrow. So today, good news. Eat like a king. Eat up. Brian already told me he's going to Wingstop tonight, all right? So if you want Wingstop, call Brian up. You go to his house and you guys can just pig out on wings, all right? Maybe a rough day tomorrow if you do that. But tomorrow we start the fast. And we would love you to join with us. This is the deal. The fast is a spiritual discipline. And if you talk about using all the resources that you have available, and if we're really going to worship the Lord with our ma'od, we've got to dig into these spiritual disciplines. Because they will help us resource us and prepare us. Just like an athlete practices hard and struggles and lift weights, they don't do that just for fun. They do that so they can perform in the game. Now, we don't perform for Christ, but we do want to exercise our spiritual muscles so we can worship him and love him with our ma'od, with everything that's within us, and use every resource at our disposal. And so we're going to walk this journey over these next 14 days, and we want you to join us. Band's going to come back. We're going to sing. We're going to close this thing down. But as they come back and as we close this thing down, as they worship and as they sing over us and as you participate in that, I would just love for you to make some decisions, just draw some lines in the sand. Can you do that? Just say, this is what I'm going to do. You may want to say, hey, I want to write a prayer and put it on the wall. You may want to come down here at the altar and pray. But I would just make a resolution, a commitment. This is what I'm going to do to worship the Lord with my ma'od. And I'm going to participate in this devotional. I'm going to participate in this fast. Father, I pray that you would honor us corporately as we, the Heights, join together for this intentional spiritual journey over the next 14 days, where we dive into your scripture, where we focus on you, where we realize and understand that you are the bread of life, that all things come from you. We pray that you would sustain us, and we pray that we would be able to worship you with our ma'od. In Christ's name I pray.